Parts of Akbar Kadosh, I'm just talking about a couple. They're both action packed. A lot to talk about. A lot to go. One issue which comes out in both Parshas Akrimos as well as in Parshas Kedoshim. In Parshas Akrimos in Perek Yudches, we have a list of the arayos, all the people that a person is not allowed to have relations with. We know also in the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim that we are charged to be Kedoshim to you, to be holy. Rashi and the Ramban have very famous machlokas, what exactly that means, Kedoshim to you. Rashi writes that it means to be prushim in ha'arayos, that part of what defines a person's kedusha is not just, it relates to their avoiding many of the surim that are listed in Parshas Achrimos. We also know that arayos are not just regular averos. The Torah also tells us in Parshas Achrimos, I believe, v'chai b'hem, and Chazal Darshan, the Gemara in Meseches Sanhedrin tells us that even though a person is supposed to, in general, violate averas rather than give up their life, yavor va'al yiharig. There are exceptions to that, and the three main exceptions, assuming it's not bifarhesia, assuming it's not, you know, the exceptions that we spoke about when we learned ksubis, a person does have to give their life rather than violate arayos. So arayos is an iser. Arayos is an iser, which is definitional for a person's status as being kadosh, and arayos is also an iser that is yiharig va'al yavor. Why exactly are arayos aser? Why exactly are arayos aser? So there does appear to be a very important machlokas amongst Rishonim about this point. We spoke about in this lot, in Parshas Mishpatim, about how there are different categories of mitzvos. There are hukim and there are mishpatim. Mishpatim are mitzvos, simple pshat, that do have rational reasons. Maybe we would have known them on our own. And hukim are those that the reason is not so apparent, and maybe there's no reason at all. We referenced the machlokas then between the Rambam and Rambam, and exactly how you define chuk. The Rambam understands, in at least in Mor Nevuchim, at least in regards to several of the arayos, that there is a reason why they are aser. The Rambam writes in Mor Nevuchim that the reason why the Torah asers many of incestual relationships with a person's sister, daughter, mother, etc., is because the Rambam understands the Torah wants us to not engage in sexual relations that often at all, that frequently. And the Torah thinks, well, if you're allowed to be with your family members, those are the people that you're around all the time, and you're therefore much more likely to engage in arayos. That idea of the Rambam is an idea which is found not only in the Rambam, but also in the Ibn Ezra. I believe Reb Sadia Gaon has an idea like that in the Munus Videos, and that's a very well-known idea. That Rambam idea does reflect an orientation that I believe is found in other places in the Rambam, which relates to a certain hesitation in regards to the realm of sexual relations, and that's one that, again, for the Rambam, there is a reason there, and it has to do with preventing it. Obviously, that may not apply to all arayos, that will only be especially relevant to some. The Ramban takes issue with that. The Ramban says, really, the Torah allows us midoraisa, this is an assumption of the Ramban, but it's a very solid one, the midoraisa, a person's allowed to marry 1,000 women, and the person's allowed, and your wives are going to be around you all the time, and even though the Torah asks of certain sexual relationships, l'chora, there's a good svara why that would be, why it doesn't seem that that's really the Torah's issue, again, by the Torah allowing you to have so many women. I believe the Chasam Sofer, Meseches Ksubis, also critiques this reason. The Ramban appears to, again, I think it's how you read the Ramban, appears to note two other possibilities as to why it may be asr. Neither of them are in the classical camp as far as mishpatim with rational explanations. One, the Ramban says, it seems to be sod misodos haTorah. It appears to be some sort of a secret, one that is very hard to understand. The Ramban in general, in Peirush Al Torah, references last year, when the Ramban quotes Kabbalistic ideas, the Ramban references them, he hints to them, he does not spell them out. Rabbeinu Bechaye often spells them out a bit more, but the Ramban hints to it. That's why it's not surprising you do have, at least in the footnotes, it's in the Ramban, and some of the Ramban, you do have some discussion amongst Kabbalists exactly what is this Kabbalistic notion that the Ramban is referring to, al pi Kabbalah, why it's asr for a couple to be together. Why, at least again, some of these relationships are considered to be asr. The Ramban does then go on to say, Aliba de Emes, the Ramban thinks, there is that these Yisurim, says the Ramban, if I can find the exact Lashon, I'll make sure to quote it, but if not, I will just move on. The Ramban writes that I think that these things are just chukim, that these things are just chukim, that there may not be a as clear of an explanation. Now, we should point out that there are Rishonim, the Rambam thinks that chukim also, you can try to understand their reason, but the Ramban is into the chok, it's something which we really don't understand that much why it's considered to be asar. I want to point out a couple of things relating to this machlokas whether arayos are really mishpatim, at least some of the arayos, we do understand them, as opposed to those that are, maybe it's really chukim. Number one. This debate, as some point out, appears to already be a machlokas in Chazal. The Gemara in Maseches Yuma appears to be explicit that arayos is something that is begeder a mishpat, that arayos is something which the umos ha'olam are not going to attack us about. It's something which there is a good explanation for. That's in contrast to things like shatnez and paraduma that don't have a clear explanation. So arayos, the Gemara in Yuma appears to understand that they really do have an explanation. In contrast to that, there is a sifra, at least as understood by the Rambam in Shmoneh Prakim, where the sifra appears to be pretty clear that arayos are really in the context, in the category of chukim. So there is some ambiguity. That's point number one. Point number two, this did lead some people, Rav Chanan Samet, who is a Tanakh person, the affiliate with Gush, I believe, and maybe Ma'alei Dumim also, wrote an article where he pointed out a couple of things. Number one, it may be that arayos are really both chukim and mishpatim, that maybe it's somewhere in between. Those categories may not be as clear as one ordinarily thinks. On the one hand, and he points out as far as just kriyas hapsukim, the Torah does refer to arayos, at least in the surrounding discussions, ushmartim es chukosai ve'es mishpatai. It does refer in three contexts to arayos, surrounding them having to deal with psukim about chok and mishpat, in which case maybe it really is somewhere in between. What would that mean is somewhere in between chok and mishpat? So I would just point out, if you go over this year in Parshas Mishpat, then we quoted the Ma'aral that Benny pointed out, where there may be some middle category. Why does this matter so much? So I want to give you two contemporary issues in terms of why exactly this matters. Rabbi Chaim Rappaport, a very chashiv Chabad Rav in London, put out a book a bunch of years ago on an orthodox approach to homosexuality. One of the things that he points out there is that you would have some, this is not a frum view, but you would have some who would argue that if arayos really are mishpatim, if arayos really do have explanations, and we find these explanations nowadays, given our changed reality and how the world has really shifted, if we find those things to not really apply anymore, so then you'll have some who argue, again, not a frum approach, but under the assumption it's really a mishpat, you would have some that would say, so the whole, we should be much more lenient, and maybe we should be lenient entirely with the issue of homosexuality. What he points out, and I think is just important to be sensitive to, is that whether it's a chok or a mishpat, certainly if it's a chok, the absence of us understanding why it's usher. So I want to be very, very passionate. I want to be very compassionate and understanding of those who are struggling. And it may be that I don't have a good reason why the Torah asks it, but Torah does usher it. Even if it's a mishpat, it's important to understand that with all mishpatim, ta'ameh ha-mitvos are not much more than attempts and suggestions at understanding why something is aser. We don't really paskin based on them. We certainly don't uproot dinei d'oraisa because we are uncomfortable with a particular reason. There is an additional point, though, which I think is especially relevant, and it's one that Rabbi Lam points out in the Drasha. This is in his Drashos Ledoros. On Sefer Vayikra, he points out in Parshas Achrei most of the interesting machlokas between Rashi and the Kli Yakar. The Torah introduces arayos by telling us, in the beginning of Perek Yudches here, that we should make sure that, let me find it, Kumasei Eretz Mitzrayim Asher Yashavtem Bo Lo Sa'asu, that Kumasei Eretz Kanan, that we should make sure that when we are, that when the Torah introduces the Isser Arayo, it says, and don't be like the people that you were with in Mitzrayim. Don't be like the people you were with in Kanan. Rashi understands that what's the Torah teaching us, that the people we were with in Mitzrayim, the people we were with in Canaan, were the worst in arayos. Mikul kolim mikol ha'umos. The Torah is saying, you are surrounded by people who are so terrible in this, make sure that you avoid it. The Kli Yakar understands the opposite to be the case. The Kli Yakar says, no, the Torah is telling us, Mitzrayim, Canaan, they weren't that bad. And what the Torah is teaching us is, even though they weren't that bad, you still shouldn't be like them, and you should hold yourself to a higher standard. For the Kli Yakar, part of the insight of arayos is, even the society in which you're in isn't so terrible, so you should still strive for more. Rabbi Lam points out a very beautiful insight according to Rashi. It's one that I think is especially relevant in our generation as where the world is at in certain issues of sexuality is definitely somewhat complex. Rabbi Lam points out that what the Torah is trying to teach according to Rashi is that it's always important not to define ourselves based on the society around us. And it's because everyone's doing something. It's because it appears to be the normal thing to do, quote unquote. It's what the average person is doing. Does not mean that the Torah at all sanctions that. And when you look around and everyone around you is doing something, it's mikol kol mikol umah. It looks like everyone's doing it, and they're so distant from where you are. What the Torah is trying to teach, according to Rashi, is the following: just because they're so distant, don't make the mistake of assuming that what they're doing, what is average in your location, is considered to be okay. What the Torah demands of us is to be more. Obviously, there are people who struggle in this realm. Obviously, we want to be as sensitive, as understanding, as compassionate as possible. We were talking about discussion in Machshava. Is it more of a chok or is it more of a mishpat? Machlokas Rambam, Ramban, at least in regards to some of the arayos, how there's precedent in Chazal for both approaches. Maybe there's something here that's a little bit in between. We spoke about how whether it's a chok or a mishpat, Yisurim in the Torah remain Yisurim in the Torah. Again, despite the fact that I want to be as compassionate and sensitive as possible, whatever the details are, and whatever is considered to be appropriate, as far as that level of compassion, which again I think is so critically important. But it's important at the same time not to lose sight of the fact that because society has a particular view, the Torah Dafik goes out of its way to emphasize in the beginning, just because society has a particular view, be that Kliyakar, that they aren't so terrible, or be that Rashi, that you're in a society that's really terrible, just because it's average and just because it's quote-unquote normal doesn't mean it's considered to be appropriate, and the person has to be especially sensitive to that. But Lamb points out, as far as a larger discussion, of not defining what's normal just based on what's around you. What's around you is what's average. What we want to strive for, what's normal, sometimes are elevated ideas, but the Torah defines to be a normal, a certain higher standard, and that's really what we should be striving for. Shkoyach, guys. Have a wonderful night.